World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm working hard this morning to try to figure out whether I'm in a good mood or whether I'm in a bad mood. Because sometimes when I'm in a good mood, I yell more. And sometimes when I'm in a bad mood, I don't yell at all. At a lousy night, we have a cat. I don't even know why do I have a cat? A lion maybe, but a cat? My cat, but 3 o'clock in the morning, oh my goodness. So I've been up since about 3 because the cat, it's all okay. I'm on fire this morning. Fauci, that thing's coming apart. Church is waking up. I wrote a commentary today, and I know I'm not going to get to and tired. The rise of the ex-evangelicals. The ex-evangelicals. What's an evangelical? What's an ex-evangelical? Well, that's a person who used to be an evangelical, which the gospel was all about in evangelicalism. All about rolling over or letting them have us, and well, we win in the end, and nobody ever standing up and fighting. And I'm a proud leader of the ex-evangelicals. Still love the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, my mind. But I'm gotta tell you, I'm pulling back from some of this fluffy Christianity. We are in a war. And like the men of Issachar, we have to understand the times in which we live and know what it is that Israel needs to do. If we don't arise now, we will not rescue America. Do you guys remember when you were younger, those of you who didn't cheat in social studies, remember when they were talking about Europe being post-Christian? Remember that? Talked about England and Scotland. They were post-Christian, and we kind of laughed and ha-ha'd it. Hey, folks, is America post-Christian? Are we getting to that point where Christianity is now becoming a minority? Is Christianity going to become the most hated nation in a nation? I don't know. Candace Keller is joining us together today. Just a minute, I'll get to that in a second. I appreciate her getting up real early. Want you to know this. Yes, we're heading to New Orleans. Some are going Saturday, some are going Sunday, but Pastor Tony Spell will be in federal court against Governor John Bel Edwards on Monday, possibly Tuesday. And we're going to go down there and stand with him. Those of you who just tune in, don't know what we're talking about. I'm sorry, Pastor Tony Spell, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, was arrested, faces 18 years in jail for what? Not declaring their church non-essential. He would not close. He refused to close. If you haven't, you don't know the story, go back a couple of days. I think it was Tuesday, and watch the interview we did with Pastor Tony. A lot of us are going to go down there. We'd love for many of you to join us. If you can't, please pray for us, because we believe this is a huge, huge battle to figure out whether three terrorists in black robes are going to be able to tell the church that the government has authority over the church. Folks, we know from the First Amendment that's not even possible. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Its limitations on Congress. And are these judges, these three terrorists in black robes, are they going to rule for the church or for the government? We don't know. That's why we're going to be there. And we'd love as many of you to come as you can. Pray for us if you can. Hey, Craig, throw up there. Do you have that? Spencer, do you have that the other day? Those three judges that were supposed to be praying our imprecatory psalms towards the three judge panel that's going to hear the case. I may have caught Spencer a little bit off guard there, not ready to have it up there. But again, it's important, folks. Listen, two things. Prayer in the air, boots on the ground. You can't win without either one of them. Prayer in the air and boots on the ground. You cannot win if you don't show up to the game. We can pray all we want to. God doesn't receive kickoffs. He doesn't kick field goals. He doesn't block punts. People do that. That's what we do. That's all we're about. We're action radio here. Let me pull up my notes here. Make sure it's okay if you don't get it, Spencer. It's all right.
It's in the chat.
It's in the chat. Whatever that means, Spence. It's in the chat. Maybe you can click on that thing. These are the three judges. I use that term lightly. Who are going to be hearing Tony Spell's case? Just be praying for them. The imprecatory, whatever you want to pray, huh? Don't pray that they're going to be doubly blessed and all that. Now let's go. We're at war, folks. Let's put on our war hats, our war boots. Let's take off our sandals and get our stomping boots on because we're at war. So joining us today, sorry for that. God, that was only 5 minutes. That wasn't so bad. Candace Keller, who I really have never really ever met. I mean, I met her. I never really met. I've spoken to her a couple times. Made it down to a couple of the events that she's been putting on through. Is what do you call it? Patriot America? Is that what you call it, Candace? The organization she got rolling?
Yep, that's the name of it, Patriot America.
And she you won't believe this, folks. She is part of a local church. So are you sitting down? Everybody sit down and grab hold of the side of this chair. Hold on. She goes to a local church where the pastor didn't close down, and the pastor allows her to use the church for political events. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And she's been packing them out, thousands of people that have been coming. Because, folks, despite what they tell us, we way outnumber the left. We way, 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 way outnumber the left. But we're not organized. As my friend Mel says, we work in silos. We don't communicate with each other. We don't work together. And Candace Keller is trying really, really hard to change that here in Ohio. Now, she's done some great things. She has some great fruit. I'm going to shut up for a minute, Candace. Rather than me bragging about you, I'm going to let you brag about you. How did you get where you are? You're a former state rep, Candace. Just start there and tell us how you got to the point where you're as active as you are.
Well, I'm a pregnancy center director, a pro-life pregnancy center director. That's my calling. I've been doing that for 14 years. So I've worked to save the lives of the innocent unborn. 5 years ago, we had an open seat in our district here, and I was always somewhat involved with the local party, but I had never run for office. So I ran in an open seat. I was very much a long shot. I did not have party support, and I ran against a person with a much better name recognition than me and much more money than I had. But we ran on the pro-life platform, Second Amendment, and we won big. And when I got to the state house, 18 days in, the speaker turned to me during caucus and said, will you make a floor speech on the heartbeat bill, which had been pending for 9 years. And I didn't know much about anything, but I know pro-life like the back of my hand. So we passed the heartbeat bill on April the 9th, 2019. Governor Kasich had vetoed it twice. And then we got a commitment from Governor DeWine that he would sign it, and he did sign it on April the 10th. I also introduced the Stand Your Ground bill, which passed this past December, and introduced a resolution that took me to the Knesset, where we recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. The Federalism Committee passed that. And I just did a lot of things that were very much considered to the far right, because that's just who I am. I'm a born-again Christian evangelical. My dad was a pastor. My brother is a pastor. So after the left came out, the establishment rhinos, I never worry or think about the Democrats in Columbus. It's the rhinos that drive me right over the edge.
Amen. Amen.
They're the ones who took me out. They spent $1 million against me last year in the primary for the Senate. And put in office a man who was indicted on 9 counts of perjury by the FBI rather than a pro-life wife and mom who passed the heartbeat bill. So when the inauguration happened this past January, you know, we all kind of held onto our seats to see what was going to happen. I believe Donald Trump is God's man for the hour. And once we saw what was happening, I told my husband, we need to do something now. And I tell this is kind of humorous, but I was in the bathtub. I'm like me and Alan Greenspan, you know. And it takes a bath every night, you know. So anyway, I was in the bathtub. I texted my husband and I said, we need to do something now. So we started Patriot America. And I thought, we'll have an organization. I'll just have a meeting and we'll go ahead and see if anybody will come. And our goal is to learn the Constitution, which of course over a million more constitutions were bought last year than in any year prior to, because everybody was very concerned about what was happening, of course. Secondly, to put local conservative candidates into nonpartisan races, such as school board, city council, township trustee, and the like. And thirdly, to make sure your sheriff is constitutional. If you have a sheriff who doesn't believe in constitutional carry, you need a new sheriff. If you have a sheriff who doesn't believe in stand your ground or support stand your ground, you need a new sheriff. And finally, to keep each county moving forward with the Patriot agenda. So when we had our first meeting on February 13th, I thought we would have 50 people, and we had 320 people show up. And I realized that people were still very mad over the election. They were frustrated. They don't trust the government, and they're irritated over face masks, vaccinations, and why their state rep does not return their phone call.
Amen.
We had a second meeting on March the 6th. I was, again, expecting the same, you know, 300 people, and 750 people came. At the third meeting on March 20th, 1,200 people came, and I realized that we had to keep rolling.
This is at the church, right?
We always have it in churches for many reasons. For one thing, they're exempt from the mandates, which are illegal, of course. And there's adequate seating and parking and, you know, good media equipment. So it worked out great. We've traveled to 10 counties already. We're scheduled to do the Patriot training in 10 more counties. So we come for nothing, 2 hours on a Saturday morning, and we talk to the church or whoever comes about how to run for local public office and how do you win when you're a long shot.
Candace, good. A quick question. By the way, unbelievable that you've been able to do that. I mean, you understand this as well as anybody. There is such an unrest in the heart, especially of Christians, Candace, and there's no place for them to plug in because sadly, most pastors, most churches won't even talk about the political issues at all. And as a result of it, you can go to church on Sunday morning and you may have 15 patriots sitting around you and nobody knows one another or knows what's going on because the guy standing in the pulpit won't even mention the issues, those hot button issues that everybody is talking about outside the church. What was different I can't remember the name. Help me out. Solid Rock. What was different about Solid Rock, Candace, that they get it?
Well, Lawrence Bishop is my pastor, and this is a multicultural church. And you know what? What happened the first time we met on February 13th? After I tried to hurry, you know, and be done by noon because I knew the church had to clean up for service the next day. But at the end of the session that we did, and it was very casual, just about, I wanted to encourage people to know that they don't even realize what they are. They have so much power and authority.
Amen.
And after we ended, nobody would leave. And all these people that just knew each other off social media that didn't really know each other stuck around and visited, and then they went out to eat together in groups and stuff. And I realized that there was sort of this vacuum of loneliness, fear, mistrust of the government, the church feeling unempowered because pastors have no courage. And I say this all the time because I've done pro-life work. Pastors also will not address the issue of abortion. They've never been great at that. And so I'm not surprised by how they have acted with the virus. So I always say this, and everybody laughs, but it's the truth. One of these days when I'm no longer doing pro-life work or in politics, I'm going to write a book about pastors, and nobody will buy it, and no pastor will ever speak to me again.
Amen. That's why I said at the top of the show that I'm a proud ex-evangelical. Listen, folks, Candace, we talk about it all the time here on our show. The church is not the building. We are the church. We are the body of Christ, and we have got to get the church out of the sheep pen, get the sheep out into the field if we're ever going to have any kind of impact at all. For too long, we've been taught that, you know, you don't mix the secular with the sacred, and we don't talk about politics from the pulpit. And as a result, I tell people this, Candace, I want to know who my pastor voted for, because if he's voting for somebody other than the guy I'm voting for. One of us has got something wrong here, and I want to find out what it is. So I encourage pastors to publicly declare who they're voting for, and I think that really helps to separate the sheep from the goats a little bit. Let me back up. As somebody, Candace, as somebody who's been in the inner workings of it, in the Ohio State House, what's the real problem in government, Candace? How come we elect these good conservative candidates? Like I'm thinking right now, I know I can name some names here in Ohio. Jay Hottinger, Jay's a buddy of mine. He's from Newark. He's just down the road. I can name several that I want. Hey, Candace, what were they doing letting Mike DeWine act like he's some type of tyrant? Where were these guys and why didn't they stand up?
The shape of Ohio is 100% the fault of the Ohio legislature. The night of March 16th, when the governor broke both state and federal law by canceling the primary, I called the speaker. He was a night owl. By the way, I've served in the House 4.5 years, and I had 4 speakers. 3 of them were under investigation by the FBI.
By the way, Larry Householder is my representative, if you can believe that one. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I called Speaker Householder. I said, what are we doing? I'm ready to drive up there right now, and a bunch of us are ready to drive up there right now. And because, as you well know, the legislature is the only body that declares the place time of any election, and the governor hijacked that and went to the court, which was completely irrelevant. Courts make no law. We had already made the decision, and so they failed to act. And as we've continued on throughout a year of repeated assault and bullying by the state against the citizens of Ohio, the legislature has done nothing. And as a person who sat inside and watched what goes on, people disagree with me about this, but I'm saying it anyway. Term limits empower the governor. Term limits empower lobbyists, because as soon as these legislators are done, they want a job. And they're not going to tick off a governor who's going to give them a job.
Yeah.
Half those people are all waiting for, they want him to win. They want him to win next year because they want a job.
They want DeWine to win?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
Wow. That is so hard to believe, right? I don't know if we've ever had a more unpopular governor with the people than what we have right now. He's more hated by Republicans than he is Democrat. Would you agree, Candace?
Yeah, by the voters, but do you see a single impeachment bill rolling along? I mean, I was one of only 4 legislators that moved to impeach the governor out of 99. Where is the backbone? Where is the courage? The problem in government is, this is it in a nutshell. Christians are not running. They need to run. Mm. And I understand the corruption of government as well as anybody. I had the speaker say to me 3 speakers ago, if you don't vote for this budget with Planned Parenthood in it, we're going to take you out. Of course, I did not vote for the budget. I did not vote for the budget. And just about 4 months after that, that speaker stood in front of us and became the first speaker in Ohio history to resign in disgrace because of corruption under FBI investigation. Let me tell you something about Christian servant in government right now. We're living in a time of supernatural work that God is trying to do in this nation. And when Christians serve in government, God will go before you. He will fight the battle for you. I never in a million years dreamed that Speaker Householder would be arrested for racketeering. By the same token, I watched how all the dominoes fell. And as a Christian, I voted according to my conscience because, frankly, I didn't care if I was there or not.
Amen.
I went up there to fight that pro-life battle. God gave it to me, and we won, and we saved 20,000 babies a year. So in the meantime, if you don't have Christians who are ready to go up to the state house, Christians don't serve in public office because it's corrupt. But that's the reason why it's corrupt is because Christians will not, and they need
no salt. There's no salt. Now, I'm going to open it up here, Candace, because I know they have a lot of questions. But let's talk about what just happened in Lebanon. And I know that you were elbow deep in that as well. And we played Mark Harrington's clip the other day where Mark Harrington made the most unbelievable clarification that I've ever heard. He said that Joe Biden said that he wants to have an abortion clinic in every county. And we believe him, right? And so they're telling us what they're going to do, and yet we don't take them serious. So you guys got out in front of it, and you became the first city in Ohio to be a sanctuary city for the preborn. Talk about that a minute, Candace.
All politics is local. Keep in mind, okay, so we've all totally given up on the federal government, right? It's totally impossible. The state is not a lot better. So what do you do then? You go local. You see your local mayor at the grocery store. You know these people. You know your city council people. You know your township trustees. The most important thing in the mind of any office holder is I got to keep my seat. I got to keep my seat. I'm keeping my seat. So when you go before the local government and you say to them, this is what we want, and we want to know where you ran on pro-life, now what are you going to do about it? When you go local, people need to understand local government is the power. That's the power. The smaller you are, the more power you have. So for me, I went to my commissioners. I go to my city council. I'm not bothering. My legislator doesn't even answer my phone call, and I've got his cell phone number, and I used to be in the legislature. He's not going to listen to me because he's got to keep that seat. So I'm going, Kaylee McEnany, my buddy, she says, it's time to go on offense now. We as Christians have been nice for so long. We have niced ourselves into a man who lied his way into the White House because we're Christians. So the truth is now we have to go to our, say directly to them face to face. You said you were pro-life. Now, are you not pro-life? Now we're going to put you on record. Are you going to have a pro-life city here? And they're going to come back and they're going to say to you, we've never had abortions in Lebanon anyway. And we say back to them, and we're keeping it that way. So where do you stand?
Amen. And we saw that it happened down in Texas. And so Planned Parenthood sued and then dropped the suit, didn't they, Candace? Because, go ahead.
Local control. Yeah. They can't, you have to understand, local control. I remember one time I was at the house, one of the townships came to us, they wanted to keep chickens. Okay, so we're all laughing about this chicken bill. And the truth is, when a township or a city wants to have chickens, the state can't come in and say, you're not having chickens. I mean, this is how the Township Association is one of the most powerful lobbying groups in the state of Ohio. Local is everything. And we finally said to the people were coming in with their chickens and goats and rabbits and stuff at the state house. We finally said to them, if you want to keep chickens, you either need to run for office yourself and remove your trustee or move, because the state cannot change this. So when you go local, you have such, even think about it. Most people live in townships or cities. The heights of your fences, hoops caring for the cemeteries, road repairs, all these things are controlled by you, the taxpayer. And when you go in, just like you said earlier, a school board, will, just by 10 people walking in and sitting down, you don't even have to say anything. You don't even have to do anything. They're freaking out. What are they doing here? What are they watching us do? And keep in mind, you're paying. All these people are on the payroll. My commissioners will not answer the question to me, are you opening Butler County? $95,000 a year these people make. They work maybe, what, 1-2 days a week with the world's best healthcare benefits, and they won't answer a question. Are you going to open Butler County with a 0% death rate and almost no infection rate in Ohio? It's amazing the number of people that we have found who want to control us. That's a spirit. It's demonic. It's right out of hell. But the truth is, the Christian spirit, the American spirit of don't tread on me is now binding. It took me a long time to figure this out. Is binding with the Holy Spirit, and the Christian world is raising up and saying, okay, we're done with you pastors who close the doors, for one thing.
Amen.
Find a church that'll stay open. And secondly, we're going to stinking run for office and take out this school board member that wants to put some transgender a curriculum in my kid's school.
Candace, I'm liking you more and more. That's what we're about here. This is action. This is action. Whatever this thing is, that's what we're all about as well. Let me get a couple folks in here. Hang on a second. Let me ask one more question before I'm going to bring Larry, then Ohio Brett. Hey, Candace, so let's talk about your county commissioners or whatever local group it was. Why would they not go against what the governor said, Candace? They had the power to do it, right? Butler County had the power to open up. Licking County had the power to open up. Why? What was it that prevented them from doing it, Candace? Just cowardice? Is that what it is?
Well, yeah, there's always that. But keep in mind, Patriot America, we have attorneys that are working alongside us. So we found out, as you well know, that a face mask, the FDA in all 50 states declares a face mask a medical device. And a person administering a medical device to you must be licensed in the state of Ohio and in all 50 states as a medical professional. Therefore, they're practicing medicine illegally. In the state of Ohio, that's a fifth degree felony. So every store that you've walked into and every restaurant that says you can't eat here, you can't shop here without a face mask has now broken the law, because that is a fifth degree felony in Ohio, because unless that person is your physician, your personal physician, they're not allowed to say that to you. So when we brought this to the attention of the commissioners, I didn't make the law. It happened long before I got to the legislature. They chose to ignore it. This is the caliber of the people that we are all dealing with in the state of Ohio. And you as citizens need to have the boldness to approach them and say, here's the law. Are you going to obey it? Or are you not going? If you're not going to obey it, you have just sent the message to me, you want to be replaced. And I'm going to work toward that end.
Amen. You're not just going to pray for him, Candace. You mean you're actually going to try to get somebody else to take their place? Boy, that's not very Christian of you. Come on in, Jack. Followed by Larry, then Ohio Brett. All right, come on, Jack. Jackson, Maine, state of. Go ahead, Jack.
Good morning. Thank you for doing what you're doing. What you're saying is that they have violated Article 6, right, Candace?
Well, we in Ohio, we have the Ohio Revised Code. I don't know where you're from, but that we have followed the law to the T on this.
No.
Same thing goes
I'm trying to make a point here. Article 6 of the United States Constitution is the oath, because we need to hold people to their oath before we try to do an Article 5 reset.
So
Article
in other words,
6 before Article 5.
So in other words, Jack, the oath doesn't mean anything anymore. Telling the truth doesn't mean anything. Lying doesn't mean anything anymore. You just say whatever you want to get elected. You say whatever you need to get a bill passed. You say whatever you need to get reelected. That's really where we are. The oath means nothing. Your point, Jack?
Right.
Amen. Jackson, that's
it.
Jackson, the state of Maine, by the way. Larry in South Carolina. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being here, Candace. I got a question and then a small statement and then another question. The first question is, you said the problem in your Ohio legislature, and I'm sure it's the same here in South Carolina, is that there's Christians aren't running for office. However, here in South Carolina, probably 95% of those people will call themselves Christians.
That's true.
What's the story like on that front in Ohio?
Well, that's a great point, Candace. They say they're Christians, right? They put on the sheep suit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I realized what was happening around me. The first 6 months of, I was in the House, I stayed pretty quiet. I kind of watched in the caucus what was going on. And we would have a great bill, especially gun bills. And one of my colleagues, Kyle Kaler, he's over in Springfield, he stood up during a gun bill. It was a fabulous gun bill we had. And he stood up and said, I love this bill, but if I vote for this, I'm going to lose my next election. And I looked to my colleague, Nina Metalli, who I always hung with, and I said, did he just say that out loud? So then I knew what I was dealing with.
I understand that. But my question was, are all those people, most of those people sitting in the Ohio legislation claiming to be Christians?
Yeah, they are. But, they go to the same person I do. So,
okay. Yeah. Now, I figured that was probably the case. Now, my small statement is, you are singing the same song of the organization that I'm affiliated with, of a lot of people in this queue of things that they do and stuff. And that song basically has a chorus of, we've got to start working together, and politics begin at the local level. And if it's not already, would you please put your website address, URL, in the chat? Because I'd love to send you an email and invite you to speak to the leadership of our group.
Oh, great. It's PatriotAmerica76@gmail.com, but I'll put that up. We'll put that up.
We'll get in the chat for you, Candace. You don't have to do that. Okay. Come on in, Ohio Brett, then Mel, then Roger. Go ahead.
Well, good morning, Candace, and thanks again, Coach, for bringing in true leaders worth following.
Amen.
Candace, I've heard a lot about you. I'm Ohio Brett. God tapped me on my heart many years ago. I'm from Dublin, Ohio, and going to all 88 counties for God, country, and sports, and I'm proud to be the strong safety for Coach Dave Live, but please let me know how we can help, because it's on my spirit as well as I'm on the front lines. They want to sue, but a lot of attorneys aren't like Atticus Finch. They don't have the courage, because like the politicians, they fear they'll never get another case. They'll never get a retainer. or another billable hour. It's awful. But please, just let us know how we can help.
Boy, Ohio Brett, have you nailed it. In fact, folks, let me share this with you. When we were 10 years ago, whatever it was, when we were fighting to get Dr. Ken Hove and Dr. Dino out of jail down in Pensacola, Florida, I raised some funds for his legal defense. And I called somebody down in Pensacola and said, who's the best defense attorney? Who do we want here? And they gave me the guy's name. And I called him, got him on the phone, spoke to him. You know what he told me, Candace? He said, listen. He said, it'd take $400,000 for me to take this case because once I take it, I'm done here in Pensacola, Florida. That's the reality of why some of these lawyers will not get involved. Would you agree with that, Candace?
I do agree with that somewhat. But, you know, here locally, we're a big Amazon hub here. And Amazon is now cracking down on these mandatory vaccinations. So in my mind, I was thinking any attorney that would take on Amazon, even if they lost the case, it just became instantly famous and expensive. So, you know, my thought, because, you know, frankly, the attorneys that are willing to carry these, such as Maurice Thompson, they're buried because everybody yeah. gets 10 emails a day from people who are freaking out over the workplace mandatory vax.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And Candace, can I get permission to ask one more question, Coach?
Sure, Brett. Yeah, go, Brett.
And I know you and your husband are an amazing team, but you're only one person. And Coach is only one person. So is there a contact person that Ohio Brett can reach out to that if you can't be there or Coach Dave can't be there, Candace, do you have a teammate that might be able to join me at a town hall meeting for God, Country, and Sports?
Sure. Just send us your schedule and we've got a team. The team building, believe me, is rampant right now. I'm trying to keep.
Thank you. Sure. And thank God you, bless
Brett.
You.
Thank Thanks. You, Brett. Come on in, Liberty Mel.
Hey, Candace, how are you doing this morning?
How are you?
Great. Yeah, I bought a battle jacket at one of Candace's events.
Those are sharp.
It says, Jesus was an activist and everything is political. So I wear that as my battle gear sometimes when I'm at different events. But, you know, I just really feel that these politicians, they don't report to us. They, you know, we're cattle to them. You know, we yeah. think that they're reporting to us and that they care about us. It's just not true. I mean, they're concerned about, you know, what money they can bring in, you know, to line their own pockets and to get reelected. But my question for you is just what are your future plans for the balance of this year and next year?
Yeah, what do you see? That's a great question, Mel. What's the long-term plan here, Candace, and how can we play into this thing?
Well, my long-term plan is to take Patriot America into all 88 counties by the end of the year. So I'm booked right now through every Saturday through September. Now, I was invited by Clay Clark to attend the Health and Freedom event in Tampa, a three-day event, June 17th. And we're looking at bringing that to Southwest Ohio in August. So my plans are, I'm having a blast, could I just say. And God was in all of it anyway, because you know who's on the front page of the Inquirer? Not the guy who beat me.
You know,
and I'm not doing it for publicity at all. I'm doing it because I have I love my country and I love Ohio and I want people to feel empowered. And we're all under attack. We're all being bullied. Even a legislator. I've argued with person after person after person trying to serve me in stores and restaurants. And this is totally supernatural. That, you know, I used to think if we could just get rid of Nancy Pelosi, you know, or Ruth Bader, you know, that's not what it is. This is a spirit we're dealing with.
Yep. Because Amen.
Wings is someone even worse than Nancy Pelosi to take her spot.
Amen.
It's not her. It's the spirit that is hovering over this country of control, bullying, pedophilia, human trafficking, it's the virus, it's all connected together. And it's time for the church to go on offense, aggressive offense. So my future plans, I don't know. It's up to, you know, whenever God directs me, I'll do. I don't mind running for office again. Right now, I'm not looking at doing that. But, you know, if a door opened, I would. But I'm telling you, I'm having a lot more fun doing what I'm doing right now than I would be if I was in the legislature right now. Because they don't let me talk.
I tell them this, Candace. I can raise R-A-I-Z-E. I can raise more hell on the outside than I can on the inside. You know, I've run for elected office twice. And I said, I ran for Congress. And I said, told my wife, if I won, I'd be dead. they'd have put me out of my misery a long time ago. So we have to be able to bloom right where we are and all be a thorn in the flesh of the people who are in those positions to get them to do what they promised us they would do. Come on in, Roger.
Candace, real quick, the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, urban chambers of commerce, they are all for open borders. Let anybody in anytime. What's the story behind that? Is it strictly they don't think there's enough workers? But the Ohio Chamber of Commerce seems to be leaning left, and with Stivers in there, I don't see it changing. What is their point of this open border stuff?
The Ohio Chamber is what you call one of the big five in Ohio, the Beer and Wine Association, Township Association, Farm Bureau, and the Chamber is another one, that were always weighing in on everything we ever did. They have slowly moved to the left in recent years. And of course, obviously, they love the cheaper labor. They're not concerned about growing small businesses. They say they are.
But they couldn't care less about moral issues, right? They couldn't care less.
Not at all. Not at all. No, so they, I mean, you know, they're just a liberal organization. They never, ever endorsed me. The NFIB never endorsed me. They always go for the establishment. So, you know, it's time for voters to wake up and realize these large mega organizations, they're not in your corner. They're not for the little guy. And the little guy is, Ohio is flyover country. We are the ones who elected Donald Trump. We are the heart of the nation. And those organizations do not represent Ohioans well.
Candace, where do they, this crazy question, but it's not. Where do people learn how to run for office? School boards, county commissioner, all how, where do they learn how to do that, Candace?
Well, Patriot America has decided to, we're partnering with the Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership, FACL, it's called, and we're doing our first training session July 17th here in Southwest Ohio. They are limiting it to 44 people, and we're almost at capacity now. So filing deadline for this year. And let me tell you something. When I do research, when we go to each county, I do research in each county. There's always about 100 open seats, even in the smallest counties, in local races. There are mayor seats that are vacant, school board seats that are vacant. Nobody's running. And it's easy to just slip right in and take those seats. So we're... The FACL is 9 to 5. The foundation, you can come in 9 to 5. We do a class. I think it's $50 one day. We teach you everything about how to run and how to win. And that's what we're doing. That's the goal of Patriot, is to teach you how to run and win.
Amen. Jeff, come on in. Then Jeff Klein, then Jeff Nell. Go ahead, Jeff. Jeff in Mount Vernon, and then Jeff in Nevada.
Candace, good to hear you this morning. I'm from Mount Vernon, Ohio. Ran for county commissioner a couple years ago. Pretty sure I'm going to do it again this next one coming up, 2022. I'll go to your website, check things out. But what is the, and for anybody else might be listening to or me, what is the advantage of getting a seat there at your county commissioner spot, just in case any other people listen want to do it? And a lot of us don't know what a county commissioner
does. Good question, Jeff. What does a county commissioner do, Candace? Why would somebody want to be that?
County commissioner is the best job in the county. First of all, the salary is great. Secondly, you're the most powerful person in the county. You totally control the budget for all the office holders. So the sheriff, the clerk, the auditor, the treasurer, everyone in the county who runs the county answers to the commissioners. So they meet weekly and they look at budgets. They have, you know, there are literally hundreds of staff that work under them. Commissioner is a great launching pad for higher office. But to tell you the truth, the best job in any county politically is county commissioner. It's really a better job than even being a state legislator. They have the power to make laws, or called ordinances or resolutions. But it's a great position. I have never run for commissioner, but frankly, my commissioners right now are such a nightmare. I'm actually thinking about it. I don't want to, but I might do it. But the truth is, unless you have good commissioners, your county is not going to do well financially. I mean, most of it has to do with finances, but the truth is that the whole climate of your county depends on what kind of commissioners you have. Every county in Ohio has three. They run for every 4 years. That's like there's two and then one every 2 years. So it's a great position. Many, many of my colleagues in the House were former commissioners and went back to being commissioners.
Mm, good place to be. Jeff Nell, come on in, Jeff.
Yeah. Hi, Kenneth. I live next to Commodus, California. And their influence in my state is doing the exact same thing, and we're turning to Marxism. My question is to you, if I come to you on July 17th, can I cross-train to use it in the state of Nevada?
Yeah, the principles of running are the same in every state. In fact, the team that's coming to us is coming from Virginia. So there are a lot of, you know, it's a, when you're a believer, there are a lot of tricks and things that you can do that you can win on with less money. You can win with less name recognition. I'll never forget my husband and I, we realized I had 9 nursing homes in my district. And I knew those people voted, and I thought, how can I get those votes? Because they wouldn't let me in. You know, they wouldn't let me into the nursing home. So my mother's 87 and she's fabulous. So she sat in her recliner and we got the names of every single person in the nursing home that was registered to vote. And I took a mailer, I put a baby feet pin on it, so free jewelry. And my mother wrote a note, dear Martha, I would love to have your vote on the 7th. And then she signed my name. So these people were looking, thinking that they had possibly met me. And here I have a picture of me with my family and my daughter and everything. And so I worked. This is just a little trick I did. I'm telling you a huge secret right now. Don't tell anybody. And I put on the baseball hat, blue jeans. It took me all day long. We put all the mailers in a little envelope, a little yellow envelope with the person's name on it. So it was ready to just stick right in the mailbox. And those nursing home workers are always so pushed for time anyway. And I ran in and I said, here's some voting information for the residents of the home. And they probably thought I was from the Board of Elections. So they're sticking my mailer in the mailbox for all the elderly people. We won all those votes, all those votes. So those kinds of things that require work and time, you know, your opponent is not willing to do those things. And it didn't cost, you know, it's just the gas to drive around to 9 nursing homes. There's 100 different, you know, when God tried to help David all the time. Remember one time David's enemies, he was always outnumbered. They always had more people. And one time God sent birds into the trees to make a lot of noise. And so the enemy thought that Israelis were much larger in number and there was only just a few hundred like always. So when the enemy gets confused and they start fighting each other, sit back with the popcorn.
Amen. Amen. Come on in, Roger, then JR.
Candace, real quick, you lost in the primary Senate race, is that correct?
That is correct.
What was the percentages? What did you lose by?
I don't know. We had Dominion voting in my county for one.
Okay.
And so it looked pretty bad. It was like 60-40 or something terrible. And I always won 68% in the past. So I'm always wondered about it, but you know, I'm just like, well, it's in the hands of the Lord. If I lost, I lost. But I really do wonder if I really did lose, actually.
My question is this, besides them outspending you, did you believe the church came out strong, or was it a weak performance of the church at the primary time? What was your thoughts on that?
Well, in our county, there was such confusion about whether people could vote that day or not. So I think the church did not come out because they didn't know if there was an election or not. The whole state of Ohio didn't know.
But Candace, it's worse than that, right? The pastors won't stand up in the pulpit and say, vote for this Christian woman. They won't say that.
That is true. That is true.
And we see how organized the devil's team is. Man, they are all on the same page. And all across the fruited plain, pastors will not stand up and say, vote for this godly woman. They won't do that. That's why we lose. We need
pastors. Well, Dave, I guess my question is, Candace, would you agree if the 30 or 40% of people that have some type of faith-based roots would show up, we'd win every election?
Oh, if the church would vote, it would be fabulous. It would be so great. But they do. Now, they may vote now because their lives have been affected so directly. But again, I'm not sure. For every pastor that tells me I can come with Patriot America, like this Saturday, I'm going to Miami County. There's 20 pastors that tell me, no, we can't get involved in that.
Yep. Amen. Amen. That's why we lose. JR, come on in.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Candace, for what you do.
Jim's
very, very encouraging. Very encouraging. Hey, I'm in Delaware City area, and we're trying to get the Delaware City Council to introduce or pass an ordinance that would prevent businesses from discriminating against customers without masks, without a vaccine. Can you help us with that? That's here in Ohio. Or do you know someone in the area that might be able to give us a hand? To be honest with you, we're sort of kind of running out of gas. It's a very, very small group.
Yeah, I get it. I'm happy to come and speak to any group that needs direction on this. And I bring a constitutionalist with me when I come. We don't charge anything. Companies, what is going to have to happen is some companies, somebody's going to have to take the fall and sue these companies.
Yes, 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 yes.
Three things at stake right now. Right to privacy, you were born with. No one gave that to you. You were born with the right to privacy. So anybody asking you, first of all, have you been vaccinated? For instance, I'm a woman, so nobody's allowed to ask me when they're hiring me, are you pregnant? That's illegal. They can't ask me how old I am, actually. They can't ask a lot of stuff. But all of a sudden, they think they get to ask you about if you're vaccinated. Really? I mean, you have my colonoscopy results now. I mean, what else you need to know about me?
Right.
So,
right.
First of all, that's a violation of right to privacy. Secondly, it's a violation of civil rights Title II to say that this person can work here, but this person cannot work here. Just like we would never have said 2 years ago, a woman, a Muslim woman wearing a face mask cannot shop here. Now we're saying a woman without a face mask cannot shop here. That is discrimination under Civil Rights Title Act II.
Amen. Amen.
And then, of course, there's always discrimination. This person who has a vaccine, and you know, here's the thing. Everybody can say they're vaccinated. I've been vaccinated when I was little, I was. Not that it's anybody's business, okay?
That's right. That's right.
I'm saying, If you say, I'm going to hire you because you're vaccinated, or I'm going to let you go, and we are an at-will state. Keep in mind, the employer always has the upper hand. However, store policy, company policy never trumps the law. And the law states that you have a right to privacy. And as I've said 1,000 times, the Constitution is not written to give you your rights. It's given to protect your rights.
Mm-hmm.
Rights are the rights you were born with. This woman who was in the Mall of America that the nutty guy pulled her baby out of the stroller and remember threw the baby over the railing.
Yep.
Nobody has to say to this woman, you may now protect your baby. She's born with the right to protect her child and herself. You're born with the right to breathe. Nobody said to you 1 second after you're born, you may now breathe. You're born with these rights. And so the right to privacy is something you're born with. And a company cannot invade that privacy by, first of all, asking you. The second they ask you, are you vaccinated? They have now broken the law. If they go further and say, I need to see something from your physician, that is a huge, huge red flag. So the employees are right. If they want to fire you, have at it. But you will Amen. See them in court. You'll see them.
Amen. In court. Amen. Hey, got to be willing to sacrifice yourself to eventually win. Jared, come on then, Glenn. Jared hey, didn't want to come in. Was it Spencer? Go ahead, Spencer.
This is Spencer. Yeah. Hey, what's up? Candace, I'm a young guy. I'm 25, probably the youngest one in the queue here. But what place do you think people of my age have at like the county level? I know our – I'm in North Carolina, just south of us. Madison Cawthorn's making big moves in the U.S. House as a 24-year-old. But do you think there's any place for young people in the county level? Like, do you think they're going to have any repertoire and be able to do anything?
Good question.
The only really decent female colleague I had in the House was Jenna Powell, and she was 26.
Yeah.
So young people need to step up and run. The left isn't getting everybody. It's under 30. So I would say if you're 26, look around and see what it is you want to do and start pushing now. Get your name on the ballot. Get your name on the ballot every 2 years, even if you're just running for dog catcher. Get your
name. Because it's all name recognition, isn't it, Candace? It's ultimately it becomes all name recognition. Come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, Candace, thank you for getting up early and coming in. Coach, thank you for having Candace as a guest this morning. Yep. Candace, you mentioned that your plan is to cover every county in Ohio. Have you been to Franklin County yet? If not, do you know when that's on your agenda?
I've not been to Franklin County. I need to go to Franklin County because there is a real spirit of lockjaw have the county of Franklin, and I'm in Castro wants me to come. I'm all over that because I sure know Franklin County pretty well.
What do we have to do to get you here?
All you have to do is find a pastor who's willing to host. I've done Zoom meetings with pastors with their boards who ask me, what is Patriot? What are you doing? What are you going to say? And we say or do whatever they want, but we're mainly there to educate people. These are nonpartisan races. This is not Republican or Democrat, because as I told you, the Republicans drive me crazier than the Democrats do. So I need a pastor to give me 3 dates. On a Saturday, anytime, and we will tell him when we're available. We come in, bring all that stuff. We're in and out in 2 hours, and we also do research on that. Find the open seats. Say, here's the open seats. Here's how you file. Here's what it costs. There's how many signatures. And we train them on how to run.
Amen. But now's when, folks, now's when we got to get, Guy Glenn, that's a great question. Now we got to get our focus down the road. See, hey, say, listen, folks, a football coach, right? And you know what I would do in our locker room? I'm sorry, in our weight room every winter? I put the schedule up there. Now you say, why would you put the schedule up there, coach? It's February. Yeah, I know it's February. But we're going to play a game in August. And the closer we get to August, they got to understand that date's getting here. That's getting here. We have not been forward thinking at all on what it is that we're trying to do. And we have got to become more forward thinking. We have to look farther than just the next election. And we have got to do what the left has done to us, infiltrate all of these power places. We can do it. There are more of us than there are of them. Come on in. Come on in, RJ.
Yeah, let's see if you can hear me here.
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. Candace, help me with this. I understand that the legislature is the body that only body that can investigate corruption within it. Itself. Is that true?
Well, are you talking about for with the things that go on inside the House?
Are you talking?
Yeah, if the leadership are doing things wrong, can't you do a petition from Mason's Manual? I thought there's a petition that you can do with just a few voting members to investigate.
Well, you can do a discharge petition. A discharge petition takes 50 signatures, and it's a great idea that, of course, no one has the courage to do. You can force anything. What happens with a discharge petition? It's just exactly what it sounds like. You're discharging the power from the speaker. Because the speaker, in my opinion, the speaker of the House is the most powerful person in every state, not the governor and not the Senate president. It's the speaker. Speaker controls the movement of all bills. Now, when you have a weak speaker, we probably have the weakest speaker right now we've ever had. Bob Cupp is a train wreck. So, and I did not vote for him knowing that. He literally, speakers who are at the, who work at the pleasure of lobbyists are a nightmare for the voters of Ohio. And now Bob is in until the end of next year, and then you'll have a new speaker come out. But at any rate, a discharge petition goes around the speaker. And the members then say to the, because you have the votes, 50 out of 99, you've got the votes. When you get 50 signatures, you can do anything.
So, crazy question. Maybe it isn't. You can help us. What is Nancy Pelosi's power? And Larry Householder was a strong speaker in Ohio. What is their power? Is it the control of the purse strings? Is that what it is?
Well, yeah, there's something called OROC, which stands for the Ohio Republican Caucus. It's the money pot where all of the campaign money is put from lobbyists. And the speaker completely controls that. So the speaker is 100% in control of what bills move and whether they pass or not. I'm sure there comes a point where, say, with House Bill 248 right now, which is the anti-mandatory vax bill, there, if the citizens apply enough pressure to their legislator will begin to think like he should think, and that is, uh-oh, the voters are paying attention, and I better support this, or I won't have a seat to defend. They'll go into the speaker and say, look, we got to pass this no matter how much we hate it, or I'm going to lose my seat. This is the power of the voters. If the voters don't engage and start emailing, calling, we're going to be stuck.
Amen.
But, and then the speaker will move. But for the most part, I mean,
So Candace, so that we understand, the reality of it is the speaker says to the local rep, hey, if you don't support this bill, we are not going to send X amount of dollars to your reelection campaign. Is that how it works?
Well, unofficially. I mean, you never know what goes on behind closed doors, but that was always implied. You know, I remember one time the speaker wanted me to work alongside a Democrat on a bill that I thought was a little suspicious. And if, sure enough, I started investigating and it wasn't a great bill. I didn't want to be part of it. And he called me late at night. And this was a way to coerce me. He said to me, because I was chairwoman of higher education, he said, "Chairwoman Keller, I need you to get this bill rolling." So that's code for you want to keep being chairwoman, you better do what I say. And I did not move. I did not come onto the bill, and he learned that he couldn't push me around. Next thing you know, I'm up running Patriot America.
Amen. I'm glad you are. We got about 5 or 6 minutes left. Let's try to run through a few more calls real quick. Go ahead, Rod.
Quickly, Ohio Senate race. Have you endorsed anybody yet?
In the U.S. Senate race?
Yes.
Yes.
Patriot America does not do endorsements.
What about you as an individual? What do you know about Jane Timken?
Jane Timken came out and asked for my resignation after I made remarks following the Dayton shooting that we should not blame guns for shootings. We should blame shooters. So she called
me.
So I am not a fan of Jane Timken. I would never vote for her for the U.S. Senate. I'm personally endorsing Josh Mandel.
Got it. Okay.
Rochelle, I'm trying to get everybody in, some new folks. Come on in, Rochelle.
Hi, thanks for coming on, Candace. Good morning, team. What would you say to someone who believes our voting rights have been stolen by the unelected people we currently have in office who are forcing us to play this corrupt voting game?
I would say to you, call your state legislator today and say, you better get a voter integrity bill rolling along, or you're not going to be here to next General Assembly. That should be like moving at lightning speed through the House right this minute. Why it's not, I do not know.
Hey, but listen, we got just a couple minutes. Candace, here's the truth. There is an awakening out there like I have never seen. I've been doing this, whatever it is I do, I've been doing it since 2003. Now, if a math's any good, that's 18 years. I have never seen what we see going on now. So here's the question, Candace. How do we pull this together?
We pull this together by not shutting up and by being interposers. The Hebrew midwives refused to kill the babies after the government directed them to do so. Daniel refused to bow. Esther refused to bow. We are called to be interposers. I'm more optimistic right now about the nation, the state of our nation, than I've been my entire life. God is preparing his heroes, and when the opportunity comes, he's going to place them in a moment, and the world is going to wonder where they came from. If I can be one voice to raise anybody up in their community, going before their school board, going before their legislature and before their commissioners and saying, we've had enough. You've lied to us all this time.
Did Amen.
Kennedy even win? I don't even know. You've been lying to us that long. So now we've had it and we're done. And we're going to run. If you don't do what we say, we're going to run people against you, or I'm going to run against you. That is the power of the voice of the people. And that Amen. Is terrifying for a legislator to hear.
You know, one of the things I say, Candace, going back to the Tea Party days, and we all kind of cut our teeth on the Tea Party, I really felt that the Tea Party failed because they ran away from the moral issues. They did not want to talk about, they were libertarians, right? Taxes, Social Security, don't talk about abortion, don't talk about prayer. And that's what killed that movement. And I see a resurrection of that Tea Party movement with God, that spiritual component of it, more thrust in the beginning of it. Do you see that in the front of it?
Listen to me, everything is about abortion. When I got to the House, the speaker said to me, you know, what is your thing? I said, my thing is saving the lives of the innocent unborn. And he said, oh, so that's your interest? I said, yeah, once we stop dismembering live, healthy babies 5 seconds before birth, I'll start looking at workers' comp, okay?
Good luck. Amen. Amen. They don't want to hear that, do they?
Yeah.
Reggie, come on in real quickly here.
Good morning, Candace. No, I was just thinking, not that you're saying anything backwards, but I understand the push for Christians to run for offices and the seats and taking back our country and our counties. And, but shouldn't we simultaneously pushing hard for secure voting, because it's kind of beating your head against the wall?
Well, good question. Yep.
Yeah, I don't understand for the life of me why there is not a voter integrity bill racing through the House or Senate. And by the way, it's not that I want all office holders to be Christians. I want them to be, because, you know, we have what we have, like you just said. I want constitutional people serving in office. If you don't understand the Constitution, what are you doing here? So,
amen. You know. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God, right? It is the power of God. And so we have to have some common banner that we all run under. And if we go back to the Mayflower Compact, it was for what? For the advancement of the Christian faith. And I tell non-Christians, the greatest thing that could ever happen for you is for a Christian government to be in place, because a Christian government will defend and support the rights and the values of everybody, and we won't be sold off to the highest bidder. Candace, we appreciate you coming with us. Hang on here a second when we close out. A couple folks will have a question for you. Appreciate everything you do. We're here willing to help, to do whatever we can do, and you've done a great job of coaching us this morning. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow morning.